Well, hi, everyone. Good morning. It's great to be here today. It's always great to be here today. Every Lord's Day is something new, and as you look around, things are weird. It's because we're having a vacation Bible school called Weird Animals, and everything is weird. The only thing that's not really weird, I suppose, the fact we have a new sister in Christ, so amen again to that. And I want to thank those who came out yesterday to help put up all the decorations. We have an awesome waterfall here that it's one of the most pretty scenes I think we've ever had for a vacation Bible school. So what is all this stuff with weird animals? Well, it's about weird animals. In particular, five wild and crazy animals that are, for a better lack of words, rather unique. And there are some pictures of them in this room. And these animals are there to help kids to discover that Jesus' love is one of a kind and what that love means in their lives. And besides those weird animals, that is the primary reason why we really wanted to do this vacation Bible school, because of the text and the message that the VBS brings with it, that Jesus' love is one of a kind, that it's special, but it's different than what the world tends to believe. Because, you know, we live in a world that doesn't seem to quite understand love, because, you know, a lot of things you see expressing love is usually stuff like, I don't know, sex, or it's just a warm, fuzzy feeling. But real love, the love that God has for each and every one of us, is the love that we're talking about during this week. The love that God has for every soul, including children. And that's what we're going to talk about and show this week, by looking at all the weird ways, if you will, that Jesus interacted with people. I call them weird. They're also unexpected and rather unconventional ways. And because this week's lessons are so good, and because I want to make sure that all of our Bible class teachers are on the same page, we're going to do what I've traditionally done over the past couple of years before VBS, and that is do what I call a VBS primer. So what is that? Well, we're going to take a look at the week's lessons in as little a time as possible. So hold on to your chairs, rip open your Bible, and let's get started. We're going to start actually already with tomorrow's lesson, Monday's lesson, and that's from Luke chapter 17. So turn on over to Luke 17. And the lesson actually comes from verses 11 through verse 19. And the day's weird animal is an axolotl, and that's that dude down over there, the pink thing. He's back over there. He's not actually pink. If I showed you a real picture, you might not hold your lunch. He's not a pretty thing. Anyway, he's actually also known as a Mexican salamander or a Mexican walking fish, but it's not a fish, okay? It's a Neotenic salamander. Thank you, Wikipedia, okay? And that's closely related to a tiger salamander. So he's basically a salamander. Again, though, our main text comes from Luke chapter 17, verses 11 through 19. And I usually, again, read from the New International Version of the Bible. So I just found the wrong chapter there, so I'm going to look over here at my notes. Starting in verse 11, text says, "Now on his way to Jerusalem, Jesus traveled along the border between Samaria and Galilee. As he was going into the village, 10 men who had leprosy met him. They stood at a distance and called out in a loud voice, 'Jesus, Master, have pity on us.' When he saw them, he said, 'Go show yourselves to the priests.' And as they went, they were cleansed. One of them, when he saw he was healed, came back, praising God in a loud voice. He threw himself at Jesus' feet and thanked him, and he was a Samaritan. Jesus asked, 'Were not all 10 cleansed? Where are the other 9? Was no one found to return and give praise to God except this foreigner?' Then he said to him, 'Rise and go. Your faith has made you well.'" And it's from this text in Luke that Monday's lesson is, even when you're left out, Jesus loves you. Even when you're left out, Jesus loves you. Now, looking at the text, we see that the lepers, well, they're all known as social outcasts. That's the best way, I suppose, you could put it, and to share with kids. And that's because, according to Old Testament law in Leviticus chapter 13, people infected with leprosy had to live completely away from their families and friends. Couldn't go near them. Now, just think about that. If someone had leprosy, that meant that parents couldn't hold their children, couldn't touch their child, couldn't celebrate the holidays, couldn't be with their families. They couldn't worship with the community or laugh with old friends. They would be excluded from everything. They would be total outcasts. So when Jesus passed by on his way to Jerusalem, the leprous men called out in desperation. You see, they heard about Jesus, obviously, you know. And so they see him, they go, there's this man who heals people. He's healed people all throughout Galilee and even raised a boy from the dead. Surely Jesus could heal us, right? Surely Jesus could end our lives of exile. And so in verse 14, Jesus doesn't even need to touch them. Of course, he couldn't for various reasons in Leviticus. He simply says, go, show yourself to the priests, which they're supposed to do. That's also in Leviticus, by the way. And as they went, the men were healed, the Bible tells us. Now think about that. In a mere instant, they had their lives back. They had their families back. They had their friends back. They had their health back. And we can just imagine that the first thing that all 10 of those lepers wanted to do more than anything was to run on home, pick up their child, and give a nice big old hug and kiss their wife and celebrate with friends. But one man chose to do something different. And so he postponed all those festivities and he went back to thank Jesus for his compassionate love. And it wasn't some kind of, you know, well, thank you, Jesus. I really appreciate that. Text says that he was shouting praises and he fell at Jesus' feet. So what do the kids learn tomorrow? Well, from this and the key verse from Matthew 28:20, where Jesus says, I am with you always, even to the end of the age, the kids learn that even when you're left out, Jesus loves you. Even when you're left out, Jesus loves you. You see, everyone knows the loneliness of being left out. Everyone. You could be young, you could be old, you know what it's like, you know. Think about it. Kids get left out of games and they get left out on the corner of a playground or from birthday parties they don't get invited to or understanding inside jokes. I know some adults that still don't get inside jokes. It's all the same, you know. You get left out from certain friendship circles. Makes you feel unacceptable, doesn't it? Makes you're a social outcast. Well, and so whenever we feel that way, whenever we feel like a weird animal that's been left out of the group, like Axel, our pink salamander-ish-like friend, it's a comfort to remember that Jesus' tender, compassionate, and ever-present love is there for us. And that's Monday's lesson. That's what Monday's lesson is all about, to take the time and to share that kind of love with each child and to help the kids to discover that when the world excludes us, Jesus is always right there beside us with a warm and welcoming love. Okay, Tuesday's lesson comes from the Gospel of John. If you were in Luke, I wasn't. I was in Acts, stuck there from last week. But if you were there in Luke, turn over to the Gospel of John, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, and go to chapter 4. And the lesson comes from verses 1 through 30. And the day's weird animal is a leafy sea dragon that we call fern, because it kind of looks like a fern. So what's a leafy sea dragon? Well, it's a marine fish in the same family of seahorses. So if you go out the door and look by my office, you'll see a picture of this leafy sea dragon. And yeah, they kind of really look like that. Not with the big googly eyes, but the rest of it's pretty much the same. Again, though, the main text is from John chapter 4, verses 1 through 30. But for the sake of time this morning, we're just going to read verses 5 through 9, okay? So John chapter 4, verses 5 through 9. All right. Text says that Jesus came to a town in Samaria called Sychar, near the plot of ground Jacob had given to his son Joseph. Jacob's well was there, And Jesus, tired as he was from the journey, sat down by the well. It was about the sixth hour. When a Samaritan woman came to draw water, Jesus said to her, "Will you give me a drink?" His disciples had gone into the town to buy food. The Samaritan woman said to him, "You're a Jew and I'm a Samaritan woman. How can you ask me for a drink? For Jews do not associate with Samaritans." So we'll just stop right there for now. See, it's from this text and the rest of that chapter that Tuesday's lesson is about being, the title is, "Even Though You're Different, Jesus Loves You." Even though you're different, Jesus loves you. Now, looking at the text again, we first have to understand that there was this long-standing tension between the Jews and the Samaritans that pretty much involved everything. I mean, including important stuff, really important stuff like which scriptures the Samaritans believed, you know, and things like where and how God should be worshipped. Now, to make a moderately complicated situation simple, the Jews of Jesus' time considered the Samaritans to be unclean, people to just not be around. They're just, that person, nope, we don't want anything to do with them. They're bad, okay? But from our text, Jesus didn't agree with that principle. And so, weary and thirsty from a long journey, Jesus rests near a well in the Samaritan village of Sychar. And there he met a woman who came to the well in the heat of the day with a soul thirsting for more than water. And then Jesus did something totally out of character for Joe Average Jew. Okay. He asks her for a drink. You see, in that time, Jews wouldn't even touch a cup or a bowl that a Samaritan had touched. No way, you touch that, that's garbage, throw it away. But he did. Never mind the fact that Jewish religious leaders didn't even speak to women. It says, no, we don't talk to women. They stay over there, we go over here, okay? And never mind the fact that they did that. But this woman is also a Samaritan, okay? Two strikes against her. You see, Jesus looked beyond the social prejudices of his day, and he saw a woman who ached for true love and for compassion and for acceptance. And so Jesus reached through those walls of hate and touched her heart with his one-of-a-kind love. So what do kids learn on Tuesday? Well, from this and the key verse from Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10, which says, "For we are God's masterpiece, he has created us anew in Christ Jesus," the kids learn that even though you're different, Jesus loves you. Because let's face it, we're all different, right? Just think back to a time when you felt really different from everyone else. And those differences might have been physical, could have been just, you know, weight, too heavy, too skinny, too tall, too short. Could have been your clothes. Could have been social. They got friends. I don't have friends. I have 500 friends on Facebook. I have one. Economical, spiritual, even emotional. Yeah. Remember how it felt to be the weird animal, if you will, in a group. Maybe like fern, leafy sea dragon, all kind of leafy. It made us uncomfortable, didn't it? Well, if we're honest with ourselves, we've all felt like an outsider at one time or another. And sometimes that discomfort makes it tough to stand firm in our uniqueness, even as a Christian, and to be the kind of person that God has made us to be. So on Tuesday, we're going to help kids affirm their individuality and point them to the undeniable truth that Jesus loves us, even when we don't fit in. All right, Wednesday's lesson. Moving right along, Wednesday's lesson is back in the Gospel of John. This time from John chapter 13, verses 1 through 17. And the day's weird animal is a star-nosed mole named Milton. Now, I kind of like him. I don't know if it's the glasses or what. But again, a real picture. Those dudes kind of look... Anyway, but you can find star-nosed moles up in the Northeast, up around New England, up in parts of Canada. So you won't find them around here except in the movies and on the screen. I don't think they wear glasses either, but that's because they really can't see. Anyway, Wednesday's main text for our weird animal is a weird text, maybe, because it's such a dramatic and important event that we would think that it would be recorded at least another gospel account. It's only recorded in one. It's only recorded in the Gospel of John. So this unique text from John chapter 13 is the day's main text. And again, it's a sizable portion of text, so I wrestled about what to read from it because it's so good. But let's just read verses 4 through 17. 4 through 17. The Bible says that, so Jesus got up from the meal, took off his outer clothing, and wrapped a towel around his waist. Y'all know this, right? Yeah. After that, verse 5, he poured water into a basin and began to wash his disciples' feet, drying them with the towel that was wrapped around him. He came to Simon Peter, who said to him, "Lord, are you going to wash my feet?" Jesus replied, "You do not realize what I'm doing, but later you'll understand." "No," said Peter, "you shall never wash my feet." Jesus answered, "Unless I wash you, you'll have no part with me." Then Lord Simon Peter replied, "Not just my feet, but my hands and my head as well." Jesus answered, "A person who has had a bath needs only wash his feet. His whole body's clean, and you're clean, even though not every one of you." For he knew who was going to betray him. See, this is in the context of around the Lord's Supper. We don't really see this in the other accounts, but we do here. All right. And that's why he said not everyone was clean. He's talking about Judas. Verse 12, when he had finished washing their feet, he put on his clothes and returned to his place. "Do you understand what I've done for you?" he asked them. "You call me teacher and Lord, and rightly so, for that is what I am. Now that I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also should wash one another's feet. I have set you an example that you should do as I have done for you. I tell you the truth, no servant is greater than his master, nor is a messenger greater than the one who sent him. Now that you know these things, you'll be blessed if you do them." Okay, so from this text, Wednesday's lesson again is, even when you don't understand, Jesus loves you. Even when you don't understand, Jesus loves you. So how do we get that? Well, in order to fully appreciate what's happening here, we need to understand something about power and authority. You see, during Jesus' brief ministry, Jesus gained a reputation as someone with great power and authority. Think about it. When Jesus spoke, demons fled and storms ceased and dead people came back to life. Not only that, but Jesus could touch things and sicknesses would vanish and bread and fish would multiply and thousands upon thousands would come to hear Jesus preach and teach. And crowds cheered him as the Messiah, as the anointed one of God who would save Israel. So why did Jesus, the Son of God, God incarnate, God in the flesh, this great preacher and teacher, leader of the multitudes, bend down and wash the disciples' dirty digits? Well, remember in Jesus' time, the lowliest servant got that job. We're not just talking about the casual servant. We're talking about the lowest of low. Okay, and his disciples knew that. That's why Peter said, "You're not going to wash my feet, Lord, because you're our Lord. The servant girl needs to do that. I need to wash your feet." So Jesus says, "No, I need to wash you, Peter." Okay. See, they respected Jesus. And so the disciples balked, right? And they puzzled over things. They didn't understand what Jesus was doing, his humility and his service. Again, Peter said, "Yeah, you'll never wash my feet," but Jesus, unassuming position, simply showed his overwhelming love for his friends. And remember what he said in verse 15? He said, "I have given you an example to follow." I've given you an example to follow. And so Jesus did this perplexing act of love that they didn't quite understand at first, to model the way that we need to reach out to others, to serve one another. And so what do the kids learn? Well, from this and from our key verse in Luke chapter 6, verse 31, where Jesus teaches us to do unto others as you would have them do to you, kids learn that even though you don't understand, Jesus loves you. That's the main thrust. Life is full of all kinds of mysteries, you know, questions. And, you know, things happen that just don't seem to make sense to us. Even as adults, we might not have all the right answers when kids ask why. We don't even have the right answers ourselves when we ask why sometimes. And while the Bible has all the answers that we need for life and godliness, there are problems that come along, and things don't always seem to make sense. And we don't always see simple, clear-cut, step-by-step solutions that will solve things. Now, we know we need to have faith in God, and things are in here that teach us all that we need to know, but sometimes it doesn't make sense to us, all right? And so the only certainty that we can rely upon is our faith in God, in Jesus' love. And that means that no matter the questions or the problems that we face, that kids face, Jesus' love is something that they can firmly hold on to. That's what the day's lesson is about, holding on to that love firmly, even when we don't understand. All right, Thursday's lesson goes back over to the Gospel of Luke. And this time, it's from the arrest, trial, crucifixion, burial, and resurrection of Jesus, Luke chapter 22, 47, all the way through to Luke chapter 24, verse 12, 22, 47 through 24, 12. And that day's weird animal is a tenrec. Okay, so what's a tenrec? Well, it's a thing that looks like a porcupine, but he's actually related to a hedgehog, who's kind of related to the porcupine anyway. But he's a hedgehog, and they're found along the island of Madagascar, along with Alex, Marty, and Melman, and Gloria, and King Julian. See, some people know who that is. I'm happy. Okay. But they kind of look like hedgehogs, okay? Anyway, so our tenrec is named Shred, because he's on a skateboard, and he shreds, okay? So Shred. And it's from Luke 22, 47 through 24, verse 12, that we learn that Jesus died to take the punishment of our sins. And that's such a large portion of text to take a look at, even for one lesson dedicated to that topic. So we're going to focus on just chapter 23, verses 32 through 43. Luke 23, 32 through 43. And the fact that even though you do wrong, Jesus loves you. Even though you do wrong, Jesus loves you. Again, this is from Luke chapter 23, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. Let's see. If you're back in John, it's just a couple of pages over, depending upon the print of your Bible, right? So Luke 23, verses 32 down through verse 43. And this is when Jesus is on the cross at the crucifixion. It says, two other men, both criminals, were also led out with him to be executed. When they came to the place called the Skull, there they crucified him along with the criminals, one on his right and the other on his left. Jesus said, Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they're doing. And they divided up his clothes by casting lots. The people stood watching, and the rulers even sneered at him. They said, he saved others, let him save himself if he is the Christ of God, the chosen one. The soldiers also came up and mocked him. They offered him wine vinegar, and said to him, if you are the king of the Jews, save yourself. There was a written notice above him, which read, this is the king of the Jews. One of the criminals who hung there hurled insults at him. Aren't you the Christ? Save yourself and us. But the other criminal rebuked him. Don't you fear God, he said, since you're under the same sentence? We are punished justly, for we are getting what our deeds deserve. But this man has done nothing wrong. Then he said, Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom. Jesus answered him and said, I tell you the truth. Today you will be with me in paradise. All right. You have to picture this now. Most of us have, and we've seen movies. Maybe you saw The Son of God recently, or The Passion, or whatever you saw. And you have this image of Jesus hanging there on the cross with others sentenced to be crucified along with him. And the Bible always tells us that there's one on his left and one on his right. But, you know, it seems to me that there were others there besides just the three, okay? All of them are hanging there, no matter what, on crosses, dying this slow, horrible death. But they were there because society had labeled each and every one of them a criminal, even Jesus. But there was a difference in some of the men hanging on the cross, right? You see, one of them was Jesus, the Son of God. And another one of the men was a criminal that the Bible doesn't give us his name or tell us why he's there or anything, but for whatever reason, he's there hanging on a cross near Jesus. And while the others hurled insults at him, this one man alone defended Jesus in verses 40 and 41. And he said, "We deserve to die for our crimes, but this man has done nothing wrong. He hasn't done anything wrong," he says. Then in verse 42, he made a simple request. He said, "Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom." Now, we don't know if this man ever repented of his sins or was baptized into Christ. As a matter of fact, we don't even have a clue if this guy was even a follower of Jesus. We do know, though, that the new covenant has not yet been established. So if Jesus chose to save this man, that is under the old covenant. That's Jesus' business. Okay. But Jesus gave him hope and said in verse 42, "I tell you the truth, today you'll be with me in paradise." Now, what we want to see here is that in spite of the criminal's wrongdoings, Jesus extended love and grace and forgiveness to him. And so that reminds me of passages like Romans 5:8, where the Bible tells us that God demonstrated his own love for us in this, that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. You see, Jesus didn't come to save us because we were good, you know? We never can be good enough for salvation. You see, it's only because of Jesus that we can be saved. We weren't saved, then we became a Christian. We weren't all good and right with God, then we put on Christ in baptism. We became a Christian to be saved, to be made right with God. We were sinners made clean by the blood of Christ as we became Christians. While we were still sinners, the Bible says, Christ died for you and me. So what do kids learn? Well, that's a big, heavy passage, isn't it? From this and from the key verse from 1 John chapter 4, verse 10, the Bible says, God loved us and sent his Son as a sacrifice to take away our sins. So the kids learn that even though you do wrong, Jesus loves you. And that's not a license to do wrong. That's just letting kids know and us know that even though we're sinners, Christ still came to die for you. Okay. You see, we do VBS because we love kids, and we know that God loves kids too, all right? He loves us all, right? But we can't omit the biblical fact that we all sin, even children sin. Now, when it comes time to be saved, like Sierra did today, Sierra made the decision to be immersed into Christ because she understood that she is a sinner in need of God's forgiveness. And this week, who knows, there may be someone else who also comes to that realization. And they might be a young person too, okay? Age has no bearing on who goes to heaven. If you know you're a sinner, you know you need to repent, you need to be baptized to be saved. You could be 50, you could be 15, okay? Doesn't matter. See, even if they don't... Even if someone doesn't come to the knowledge this week that they need to be saved, okay, the seed is still planted so that when they are ready, well, they'll know, hey, yeah, we all sin. And we are all in need of Jesus' forgiveness, and we could have it thanks to Jesus. Okay, our fifth and final day's lesson on Friday brings us to the book of Acts. And the account of Saul from Acts chapter 9, verses 1 through 19. And the day's weird animal is probably not too weird to some people because you've probably seen him around. It's a frilled lizard or a frilled dragon. And a frilled lizard is like that. It's found mainly in parts of Australia. And I think it's New Guinea or someplace like that. But I always think Australia. Maybe the crocodile hunter did it to me. I don't know. But the frilled lizard is called Iggy. And I'll tell you right now, I keep wanting to call him Izzy, because it rhymes with lizard more, but his name is Iggy. And again, the main text for Friday comes from the book of Acts, chapter 9, verses 1 through 19. And from this text, Friday's lesson is, even when you're afraid, Jesus loves you. Even when you're afraid, Jesus loves you. Now, while the text is about Saul, The focus of our lesson is actually Ananias. And we've talked about this last week and the week before, and that dude over there they're portraying is Ananias, and that fellow over there, he's got that Jesus look, but that's supposed to be Saul, okay? Okay? So I just thought I'd let you know, just because someone has a beard and they're in Bible picture, they're not necessarily Jesus. Beards don't make the Christian, unlike Duck Dynasty fans would probably, you know, protest, but, you know, you don't have to have a beard to be saved, okay? So anyway, our text again is Acts chapter 9, verses 1 through 19. And there's a lot there again to read, but since our focus is on Ananias, let's just read starting in verse 10 down through 19. In Damascus, the Bible says, there was a disciple named Ananias. The Lord called to him in a vision, Ananias! Yes, Lord, he answered. The Lord told him, go to the house of Judas on Straight Street and ask for a man from Tarsus named Saul, for he is praying. In a vision, he has seen a man named Ananias come and place his hands on him to restore his sight. Lord, Ananias answered, I've heard many reports about this man and all the harm he has done to your saints in Jerusalem. And he has come here with the authority from the chief priest to arrest all who call on your name. But the Lord said to Ananias, go. This man is my chosen instrument to carry my name before the Gentiles and their kings and before the people of Israel. I will show him how much he must suffer for my name. Then Ananias went to the house and entered it. Placing his hands on Saul, he said, brother Saul, the Lord Jesus, who appeared to you on the road as you were coming here, has sent me so that you may see again and be filled with the Holy Spirit. Immediately, something like scales fell from Saul's eyes, and he could see again. He got up and was baptized. And after taking some food, he regained his strength. Saul spent several days with the disciples in Damascus. Now, this is one of my favorite passages in all the Bible, all of Acts 9. I think I've shared that fact a couple of times. So it's hard for me to pick just a particular small passage. There's so many lessons here. But what the focus is for Friday's VBS, day 5, is about Ananias. So let's think about this for a minute. The Bible often tells us that God sometimes asks his followers to do difficult, and maybe even sometimes frightening things. I mean, I think back to Noah, when God told him to build the ark. He never built an ark before. God gave him plans, though. He just needed to follow them, right? And I think of Abraham. Get up, move, go that way. Didn't know where he was going. Just, I'll tell you where the land's going. Just follow me. He had faith, and he did. And then when Abraham eventually had his son Isaac, God said, sacrifice him on the altar. And he's like, okay, you know. But that must have been scary. I can't imagine that. Of course, if you don't know the rest of the story, he didn't. Okay, so don't worry about that. The Lord provided a ram so that he didn't have to do that. It's Genesis 22. So then here in Acts 9, there's Ananias. And Ananias had the terrifying job of reaching out to Saul. Now, again, in order for us to try to understand Ananias' fear, it's important to realize just how much Saul hated Christians. See, he approved of the murder of the preacher Stephen in Acts chapter 7. He arrested Christians in Jerusalem. And here in Acts 9, he was in the process of expanding his persecution on the Lord's church on into Damascus. You see, Saul was the kind of guy that you ran away from, not to. Right? So it's understandable that when God calls Ananias to go to Saul, Ananias says, uh-uh. You know, maybe Ananias felt like a weird animal. Threw up the little frill, you see. You know? He said, you got the wrong guy, Lord, you know. Maybe he thought that the request was weird. Or out of the ordinary, if you will, because after all, Saul was trying to destroy the church of Christ. And so Ananias needed a reminder that God was bigger than Saul and that God has plans that stretch beyond our limited view. And so with a little extra nudge from God, Ananias courageously obeyed. He embraced Saul, calling him a brother, placing his hands on Saul. He heals him with the power of God by his power. And he helps him to become a Christian by baptizing him into Christ, verse 18. So what do the kids learn? Well, from this, And the key verse that comes from Matthew 14, 27, where Jesus says, "Don't be afraid, take courage, I am here." The kids at VBS come to understand what it's like to be afraid, whether facing a bully like Saul, or cowering during a thunderstorm, or even if they're sick, or even when someone else they love is sick. Maybe they're afraid to share their belief about Jesus. So you see, just like Ananias, we sometimes question God's wisdom because we don't seem to understand what's going on around us. You know, we might be afraid of things. You know, maybe we don't recognize God's presence in our lives, or the fact that God loves us in our struggles just as much as when we're having good times too. But just like God reminded Ananias, our loving God is bigger than anything we might fear. So we should be encouraged to rest in Christ's love and rely upon his mighty plans when life gets scary. Okay, again, our VBS Weird Animals is weird. Starts tomorrow. It's all about Jesus' one-of-a-kind love. Got five animals for 5 days, five main texts, five key verses or memory verses. And we're going to talk this week about even when you're left out, Jesus loves you. Even though you're different, Jesus loves you. Even when you don't understand, Jesus loves you. Even though you do wrong, Jesus loves you. Day five, even when you're afraid, Jesus loves you. Love changes everything. Love changes everything. God's love changes everything, especially the way we see and treat others. And these lessons are not only for children this week, but for all of us. And I just know that the teachers and those involved will be blessed by the series this week. God's love. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. John 3:16. And this morning, it's my hope that we've come to understand a little bit more about God's love. If there's someone here today, maybe like Sierra, who now sees the need to love Jesus back by repenting of their sins and confessing his name and obeying the gospel by being immersed in the watery grave of baptism, I'd like to encourage you to do that today. And for those of us who are already Christians, well, it's my hope that we're not only remembering his love, but living his love, you know, that Jesus' one-of-a-kind love is a love that we show and that we share with those around us. So if anyone needs to come forward and respond to the gospel of Christ and become a Christian today, or for any other need that we might be able to help out with, I'd like to encourage you to come forward now as we all stand and sing.